Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin. Welcome back! It is another Monday. We're back, right?
We are back. We are back with a vengeance.
Yes.
2 hours.
2 hours. We made it through. And as you can see, because we made it through the 2 hours, we have a new background behind us. Like, this is not our normal studio, but we have a fancy layout for our 2 hour premiere. So, welcome back, you guys. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for holding us down all season long. We are super excited for covering tonight episode 9, Awakening, and episode 10, Austin, We Have a Problem. So, let's just get into it. Ebony, what were your thoughts on both of these episodes?
Yeah, I mean, the episodes, they were definitely all tearjerkers. Like, I think you were crying, I was crying. It was, like, very emotional. Like, both, normally the episodes aren't very, like, they're good. Yeah. And they're very, like, you know, the 911 calls, like, you know, like, oh my goodness. But they always end up pretty good.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And this episode, both of the episodes, I felt like, oh my gosh, like, I felt like just crying. Like, they did such a good
all
job bringing
out
those emotions.
I mean, there were so many scares, like so many scares of like, oh my god, they're gonna die, oh my god, he's gonna die, she's gonna die, and it was just an emotional roller coaster ride the whole episode. How do you feel about 2 hours of being on an emotional roller coaster ride? It's just not fun, you guys.
I know. We weren't ready, we weren't prepared for that. But TK, the beginning of the episode starts off with TK. Wakes up from his coma, thank goodness.
Yes,
I'm so happy because I was like, oh no. And then I love that their moment that they have, like, right after he wakes up, he's like, oh, like, who's the hot babe that you brought to the hospital, Dad? Like, what's going on? That was really, I thought that was cute.
It was cute. And, you know, here's the crazy thing about TK. He's just, like, very, very open and honest. Anything that comes to his mind, he kind of, like, just deals with it right away. So I think that's hilarious that the first thing that he's thinking about when he woke up was, like, hold up, Dad, you've been holding out on me.
Right, like, you didn't tell me what was going on. I thought that was really funny. And then we see TK and Carlos and their relationship kind of, like, it's had its emotional ups and downs, like, the entire season.
Yeah.
But really, we got to see a lot more, and we got a conclusion with this between both episodes, right?
Yeah, you know, we really got that question of, like, what is Carlos? What is TK? What are they doing? Answered a little bit, because I feel like they've been beating around the bush, and they were kind of like friends and helping each other out throughout the season. And,
but Carlos always, you know, has expressed his feelings and emotions for TK, and TK was always just, like, not ready to receive them.
Right.
And so this time we kind of got to see TK kind of pulls back. And then Carlos, because he's so loving, he kind of was still there for him. And towards the end on episode 10, you see the relationship kind of blossom. And TK, I think, is finally accepting love after he goes through his little, like, mini crisis.
Right. Because, I mean, when you have a near-death experience, you kind of reevaluate your life. And that's one of the things that TK and Zoe were having a conversation about throughout the episode, just really dealing with those emotions, dealing with those feelings, and recognizing them for what they are. And poor Carlos, he's just been so patient with TK throughout this. I think he's, like, one of the most patient characters throughout the whole season.
I know, he's so sweet. I think he's, like, he's, first of all, super attractive. He is gorgeous. I think we've mentioned that before.
Yes.
And he is so super patient with TK, and I think TK needs someone that kind of balances him out a little bit, because he's so impulsive with his decisions and his decision-making.
Absolutely. And, you know, throughout this episode, we saw their relationship start to mesh a little bit more. We kind of had a break from seeing the two of them together in the last, like, 2-3 episodes previous to this. But now they kind of brought them back strong, okay? This episode showed them working together with the whole solar storm and everything that kind of happened with that, and them having to band together to save lives and figure out what they're doing together, and just seeing that they were, like, a really good team in the moment. moment. And then we also saw him really recognize that he needed to accept the relationship after that. And also not only accept his relationship, but TK had to realize that he's been running and hiding from the fact that he's an addict, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and he brings that up towards, you know, in episode 10, basically saying, like, he kind of confesses that it was kind of like a release, right? He's been holding on to this secret this whole time. His dad has been helping him, protecting him, yeah. And he feels like he hasn't really had a lot of choices in his life besides the fact that, like, he messed up, but his dad continuously helps him and saves him. So now he's like, I'm making my choice. I'm making my decision. Yes. You guys are my family. Thank you so much for being there for me, right? And even going back to Carlos and TK in that moment when the solar storm hits, right, in the beginning of episode 10, and we see there's, like, a car crash and the lights are flickering, and I was like, wait, what is going on? And
yes,
when Carlos was putting his card in the card reader, I almost thought he was going to get electrocuted.
I know. I was like, oh my God, are they going to be the first 911
right.
Call?
I was like, they're going to have to call 911 for Carlos. And then everything started going crazy. And so we saw TK's strength in this moment, right? Yes. Where he goes into the bus. He's like finding or helping the driver.
Yep.
And he's like giving her air. And it was like almost at this moment where we're like, oh my gosh, like, he's going to die, and they're both going to die in right. there. And then, of course, Owen comes in, saves the day. Right after his, like, crazy 911 car where he almost was in the power line.
That was crazy.
It was like, wait, what?
Where did how did you have time to go from this location to this location?
Where did he come from? It was just, like, all of a sudden, it was, like, dad to the rescue.
Yep.
I was like, what? I love
Super Dad.
Right. Seriously. Owen is the king of doing too much. And again, we see him doing too much, right? So yeah. The 911 call right before TK, he comes to save TK in the school bus. We see that this man had a liver transplant, or he needed one.
Yeah.
And of course, Owen goes up in the power lines to save this man. And it's, what were you thinking?
Hold up. First, we have to pause. Firstly, we just have to acknowledge that episode 10, and bear with us, we're excited about this finale, so just bear with us because we literally just jumped into episode 10, but we did it because this was insane. This episode literally has you thinking, my thoughts, if this was to happen in real life, would I be prepared? No.
No.
Like, I would not have been
prepared.
Not at all. Literally, I was sitting there going, firstly, this 911 call happened in an airplane. Like, the plane obviously malfunctioned, lost, you know, signal, it shut down, whatever, and it ends up in power lines, upside down.
Right.
I would have been freaking out because I'm terrified of heights. That's the first thing.
Are you?
Look, y'all are learning a lot about me, okay? Last time it was snakes, this time it's heights.
I'm with you on the snakes. Absolutely. No snakes.
Yes. I do. Okay. There are certain levels to heights that I can tolerate, but being upside down, suspended in the air with a plane that can drop any moment, that would not have been cool with me.
With surges coming your way.
With surges of electricity that can completely fry you. No, absolutely not. So, yes, Owen is insane. Right. Team too much.
Team too much. Hashtag team too much. Like, why are you going up there? You have lung cancer. You have a whole lot going on. And here you go, trying to save the day. There was, so many other people who could have gone up there.
Thank you. Marjan could have went up there. I mean, she's the adventure, go knock them dead, free fall type of person. And here, Owen is going up there as usual. Okay. Craziness. But I guess she took, she did the scary crawl in the tunnel earlier in the cave.
She did.
Through the birth canal. So I guess we needed
it
to share
his time.
The adventure.
It was his time to risk his life because he almost didn't make it out of there.
Yeah.
2 seconds later, we would have had a cooked Owen, okay? It would have been really, it would have been bad. Would have been bad.
Yeah, but, so TK had to deal with a lot of emotions and really discovering himself. And we've seen him grow so much as a character throughout this season. We watched him, suffer from an emotional relationship of loss and realizing that the man that he thought was going to be the man of his dreams and who he was going to settle down with, deny him completely, and how he misused that moment and decided to turn to substance to express himself. And now we've watched him grown in this next moment where he's had several, not just two, but several near-death experiences. And we can see him mature as a man, as a character, as, an overall unit of the firehouse, and see him really, really dive into accepting emotions, accepting responsibility, accepting who he is as a person, and growing from those moments. So in episode 10, episode 9, it's like a totally different TK. Would you agree?
I would agree. I mean, I think we see a lot of, he has a lot of character development, like you were saying, right? Yeah. He goes through a lot of emotions. He takes us on that roller coaster with him. In episode 9, he's questioning himself as a person. He's almost having like a little midlife crisis moment where he's
his career, if he's in the right state.
Yeah. Like, what am I doing? Did I choose this? Did I not choose this? Somebody help me. I don't want to be with Carlos, but I do want to be with Carlos. Like, so he was having a whole lot of moments. And we see that when he was having that one-on-one with Zoe, which is Owen's little girlfriend or date or whatever she is right now, right? His hot babe. And so we see that moment where he's like, man, I've always wanted to be a firefighter. And she's like, okay, but I didn't even ask you about that.
Exactly.
You brought that up. So clearly that was something that was like on the forefront of his mind. Like if that was something that was really for him.
Absolutely. And even in that moment, we saw like him knowing that he needed to talk to somebody. Whereas in the beginning of the season, in the first episode, he didn't even try to talk to someone. He just turned to his habits of abusing drugs and went down this really, really bad path. But here we saw him take the initiative of knowing that he needed to figure this out. He needed to talk it out and discover what is making him feel this way. And I feel like, you know, that was cleverly shown throughout production of how to handle situations in a better way. And as production has done all throughout this season, they have taken issues that are everyday issues that everyone is dealing with, bringing them to the forefront, smashing them with the, you know, stereotypical beliefs or the stereotypical thoughts about them, redefining them, educating us on it, and then showing us how you really should deal with those situations and scenarios. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I think they do a great job with this show, kind of like giving you those lessons, giving you a different perspective on something, different religions, different, you know, everyone's different and everyone has a story and they celebrate that. And so that's great. And so TK, you know, while he's having this midlife crisis, he goes to his dad and is like, what made you want to do this job?
Right.
Because I'm questioning it and I don't know my answer. So what made you want to do it? And so Owen tells the story of him saving a little girl as a lifeguard, and he was in an ocean. The riptide got them. He came in to save them, and he was breathing air into this little girl. And he was like, this was bigger than me.
Right.
This was something that wasn't like, oh, okay, great, I felt good, but it was something that was bigger than him. What did you think about that moment? Because I thought that story was, like, incredible.
I agree. It was an incredible story. The dynamics there just really shows that Owen was meant to be a hero. Like, he has always tried in some capacity, whether it's him being a lawyer and studying for 2 years as a lawyer, or him being a lifeguard and then transitioning into a firefighter, and then being a first responder for 9/11. He's always been that guy. So I believe that it was beautiful for the writers to really disclose those backstories for him and really show that, hey, this is in his blood. And if it's in his blood, it's in TK's blood too.
Right. Which is what he finally realized.
Exactly.
Right? He finally was like, okay, duh, this is where I am supposed to be. I mean, his instinct, TK's instinct, is always to help people. I mean, I think we've seen that throughout this entire season. Whenever there's an emergency or there's a problem,
he doesn't even think
to hesitate at all. He's always the first one, like, let me do it. I got it. Let me handle it. Oh my gosh, let me help you. So I think being a firefighter is 100% what he needs to be doing.
And I'm so glad he realized that. Like, the whole time I was sitting there going,
you can't quit.
You cannot quit.
You can't quit.
Like, this is not it. Like, I know you got shot, man. I know you got shot and it's shaking you to your core, but this is what you're supposed to be doing. So I'm glad that he came to that realization.
Me too. I know. He scared me a little bit when he was helping the lady in the bus.
Yes.
Because, you know, we saw the blood, and I was like, oh, no, he's going to faint. But he figured
it
out.
Just a couple of stitches, you know?
Yeah, he was fine.
One of the other things that I really loved about the dynamic of the writers really showing the backstory of TK and Owen's relationship, it was how 9/11 affected TK as a child and how 9/11 affected Owen as a parent, as a husband, and as a firefighter as well. And the really sad thing is that, you know, 9/11 came in like a tornado. It just came, it shook everything up, and then it just left, and you're just left with all these pieces that you have to pick up.
Right.
And a lot of people don't realize that those first responders, they have families. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
They had families. They literally dropped everything that they were doing. They went to work one day as like a normal day. And I know, like, as a firefighter, it's always like exciting to a certain degree versus maybe a police officer to a certain degree. You know, the stakes are not as high for a police officer as it is for a firefighter on a normal, typical day. But 9/11 shook it for them. And just to see how their family ended up being, you know, in a way demolished in the rubble along with 9/11. It's interesting to see that story because we don't always see those stories when it comes down to first responders. We don't always see the ripple effect of how it affects the kids, how it affects the wife. And we got a little glimpse of that in this episode. And I think it's important for people to see because, yes, you are a first responder, but you also are a husband and a father. And we see through TK, all he wanted to do was be there with his dad. Be there with his dad to the point that he was like, if I have to be in the firehouse with you because that's your family, then now I'm going to be in the firehouse with you because I'm your family.
Yeah, absolutely.
And those were layers that were hit on, not really like thrown in your face, but they were shown, you know, very lightly. Yeah. And I think it's important for us to talk on that too.
So. Yeah, I love that you bring that up and that you kind of tied that in and picked up on all those little hints because it wasn't in your face, and they did kind of like give you a little nugget here, a little nugget here. So the fact that you picked it all up and put it together, that was great. I have to say, like, one of my favorite relationships in this show is Judd and Grace.
Yes.
Because they give you such a different perspective, right? We have Grace, who's like super religious and has major faith, and then we have Judd, who's a little bit different. And did you notice the tattoo on his hand? It said like Psalms 31.
I could not see it, but I saw the tattoo. I didn't really make out what it said.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so clearly
It's hitting.
He right?
He is like, becoming a changed man.
He is. I think we're starting to see like a different side of Judd. Someone who's a little bit more faithful, a little less to anger, right?
Yes, he's becoming a little more refined.
Yeah, I mean, that whole conversation, right? Like, so their whole story, this, for the two episodes, were, like, Judd's dad.
Yes, Stewart, very much so.
Right? And so we see this calm manner that comes over Judd when he's talking to his dad. He gets a little heated, but
Grace
is there.
Right, I was like, briefly. And then,
but Grace is there to, like, kind of calm him down and keep him cool, right? And he was able to have this conversation, so, you know, the dad falls. I'm so happy he went over there because dad legit would have been on the floor for a week saying, I'm fine. He's so stubborn. What a stubborn
man.
He is
so stubborn. And I don't know if we accredit that to like the Southern way of like, I got this.
Right.
Don't worry about me. I'm on my own. I can hold my own. Or do we accredit this to like his age of him just not wanting to, the ego and pridefulness of him that he doesn't want to admit that he is starting to get up there.
Absolutely.
Is starting to have
a
little difficulties.
He's been independent his entire life.
Yeah.
You know, at 80, it's like, you don't get to tell me what to do, sir. I'm still your father, you know? So I feel like he felt like his control or power was getting taken away in that moment. So he felt very protective. And so I think that's where his energy was coming from, Stewart's. And so when we see this dynamic, right, so now the dad, he keeps getting himself into a little bit of issues.
And he doesn't think that it's trouble.
Right. I mean, I think he knows, but just, like, totally in denial. So finally we're kind of able to put it to rest because they're like, okay, now you busted your leg open, your arm's bleeding, you're calling Grace to, like, help her out. And he was like, don't tell Judd. I was like, sir,
this is
actually,
not how this works.
Right, I think we still need to tell your son because we need to figure it out. So they gave him like the little life alert button.
I loved it. And can I just say, like, the dynamic of their relationship is so playful, even in these crazy moments of where, like, normally, as we saw in the first scene where they tried to have this discussion, it was a little more tense, it was a little more high stakes, it was a little more like very guarded, right. And then we come back and we see the second end of this scene and it's like, okay, ha ha ha, I could have died and I know that y'all love me.
Right.
But Grace, you know you're my favorite.
Right. Let me bring it back around, you know? Like, dad came all the way back around and was like, okay, you guys are right. Like, let me listen.
Yeah. And Grace is like, man, there's no secrets in this marriage. I love it. Yeah, so ultimately, I think that that's something that, once again, life situations that everyone deals with, like every family deals with a parent, a aunt, somebody that is getting older in their family, yeah, and they need absolutely. Additional help. And it's like, how do you approach that? How do you deal with it? And it's hard to tell, obviously, like a elder, like, hey, you need help. Or, hey, you shouldn't do that way. Like, who does that? And I'm like, they're well over your age, right? Right.
But, I mean, at some point, just, you know, you kind of, like, start aging backwards at some point in life. You know what I'm saying? Where, like, you do need help.
Yes.
Like, you need help. You need those people that love you and care about you the most that are going to be like, I see you. Yep. I got you. I'm going to let you be as independent as you possibly can. But, like, you can't do it all.
We need to do it in a safe manner.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so that was awesome. That was a cool dynamic. We've been following their relationship, Judd and Grace's relationship, all the way throughout the season. We've seen them struggle
right.
through, you know, just life choices. Judd dealing with the loss and the deaths of his fellow firefighters and dealing with his PTSD and dealing with taking on a new family of right. firefighters, dealing with, you know, how do I express myself, as we talked about, with his anger, and what does that look like, and
right.
how do I let other people in?
Grace has amazing patience with him, I have to say. Amazing
you know what? Patience. She's my, oh my God, that makes it tough. Okay, so Grace will be my number one character that is, like, the most patient.
She is patient.
And then Carlos would be second. I have to say Carlos is second, because well, Grace trumps him.
Well, true, and they're married, so it's like you kind of can't go anywhere, you know? Like,
oh,
you're kind of
true.
You're kind of stuck a little bit. A little bit. You're a little stuck, so.
Kind of bit.
Yeah. But yeah. Who else? Okay, now, Michelle. Because I was really thrown off by this entire storyline.
Can I just say, for like the first 3 minutes of that scene.
Yes.
I was sitting there going, is she hallucinating?
Seriously, is she dreaming? Because
like,
she
what?
Got knocked out. So I was like, oh, okay. Is she like woke up in heaven or something? Like,
thank you.
Where are we at? What's going on?
Guys, as y'all know, a former junkie that Michelle ran into down at the camp where she serves to try to help out the homeless population, he had a beef with her and did not like her last encounter with him. So he decided to knock her out.
Which was crazy.
Knock
Didn't
her out.
See that coming at all.
But they've been telling Michelle that she doesn't need to go down there by herself.
True. But you know, Michelle's hard-headed. She likes to do things on her own. But isn't every single person in this firehouse?
Yeah, that's
like,
what I was going to say. Like,
this
everyone
is what they all
stubborn.
Have in common.
They're all hard-headed. They all are like their own solo superhero
absolutely.
On a mission.
Absolutely. So Michelle was not about to listen to that. But I was honestly like super confused.
I was.
Like, so what do you think the point of that was like
that exact moment that we had? I think they nailed it. I think the whole intent was to make it feel like she might have been hallucinating because
like she was the crazy person who actually needed that restraining order.
No,
put
not
on her.
That far. Not that far. But to give us that moment of like, okay, maybe she just really can't accept the fact that her sister is gone. Remember at the top of
right.
the episode, they had like her mom and her had like a brief moment where they said something along the lines of like her mom couldn't believe that she was gone. I don't know if I'm ready to accept it. So that kind of like was like the little lead in to this moment. So when we saw it, or at least when I saw it, I was like, she's hallucinating. That guy hit her really hard.
Really hard.
Really hard in her head. But come to find out, Michelle was not hallucinating. Iris is alive.
Yeah, it took
Iris
me a few
is
minutes.
Real. And she's been living in the camp that Michelle has been working with. Now, this plays back to the same moment that we were talking about for the last two episodes, how Michelle felt like Iris was right there in front of her and missed all the signs.
That's true.
Now, Iris was right there in the camp that she helped out with, what'd she say, twice a week?
Right.
And she never noticed her for 3 years.
But, I mean, I feel like, right, that's why Owen was like, don't blame yourself because maybe she just didn't want
exactly.
to be found, right? I mean, it's so easy. Like, you're not going to invade someone's personal space, even if they are in, you know, a camp like that. You're not going to invade their space. So if she had the tent covered the whole time.
Yeah.
And she has schizophrenia, so it's almost like maybe she goes, like, in and out. Like, you see, like, Iris
yep.
kind of, like, talking to Michelle, and she goes in and out of, like, consciousness. Like, one moment she's, like, all over the place, like, no, she's paranoid. And then the next moment, she's like, oh my gosh, let's have a picnic. Like, I miss you. You know, so it's like almost very like she's so. Very sisterly. And then at the same time, she's like, I don't know where I'm at. So, you know, maybe she recognized Michelle at first, but then, you know, didn't say anything. Or like, she was like, they're coming to get me. And the people were telling her not to say anything. You know, so it was like.
That's the crazy part. And I know that, like, they're trying to play into what happens in the mind, right?
Yeah.
And what really keeps people in that world, in that mode. And that was one of the hardest parts on that scene that I had to watch. I'm like, she's talking about people. And I'm like, they're like, there's no people. And I just felt so sad for
her. Right, absolutely.
Because here's a family, like, they've been looking for her. And they love her. And they thought that she was dead this whole time. And it's just like, your family wants you back. Like, your family needs you. They miss you. And she's choosing this alternative
right.
imaginary world, and it just made me very, very sad.
It was sad. I mean, especially when we see her in the hospital and the mom comes to see her and they're all so excited. Like, yes, like, we have you back now, we have you home, right? But it's almost in a way, like, a little selfish to think that way because, like, that hasn't been her home for the past 3 years.
This
like,
is true.
You know, so to think, like, I'm going to take you out of your environment. We're going to make everything better. It was like, that's not what Iris wanted.
Right.
So it was, but I like that the mom came around really quickly and was like, okay, like, if you're going to go, like, take this blanket, take some money, be safe. I love you, and I love you enough to let you make your own choices.
Yeah.
But that was really sad. So, like, I mean, as a mom,
that's probably one of the hardest things that she had to do.
To, like, let your child go back to where you know it's, like, there's crackheads, and there's people on drugs, and there's people that are, you know, really need help, and they're not able to get that. And to let your daughter go back into this world that you know isn't safe, I mean, that has to be, like, just heartbreaking.
It's probably one of the hardest things that she had to do because she thought that her daughter was dead. Then she realizes that she's alive.
Right.
And she's ready to bring her home and she has trauma. To let her go again.
The trauma of, like, that whole situation for on both ends, for Iris, for Michelle, and for the mom. Like, I feel for the family.
Yes.
And the characters in the storyline.
Once again, I feel like, you know, production just keeps nailing it when it deals with uncovering the true layers, the true stories, the realistic, like, view of what these scenarios look like. And it's one of those things that at the beginning of the season, we were a little weary about it. We didn't really feel the direction that they were going in with how they were portraying some things. And it wasn't like if the story was realistic or not, but it was just like on the level of, like, being super entertaining and intriguing and reeling us in. And now they found that happy medium where we are, like, on the edge of our seats.
Right.
We're crying all the way through the episode.
Yes.
That
yes.
was definitely me. And we are rooting for the characters. And it was just hard to accept because we come from watching the original 911. So it's like, okay, this one's this way. And then this one's this way. And we're just comparing. And it becomes like, okay, now 911 Lone Star is its own thing.
It's its own thing. I think it definitely has come into its own. I think sometimes when it's the first season, you have to explain away. Like, I think when you're watching a show for the first time, it is always a little slow because they do have to
build
the characters, let you know the background, tell you what's going on in a short amount of time. I mean, it's an hour or really like 30 minutes, right?
With all the commercials.
So it's like they don't have a lot of time to, like, tell you everything. So if they spend, like, one or, like, between one and the third episode to, like, get you to understand what's going on, because if they just throw you, I hate when shows throw you into it and you're like, wait, what's happening?
Like,
and you have to, like, think about it and go back and they work backwards and, like, it's a lot of brain power. I just want to, like, watch and zone out. So, like, I appreciate, like, the way that they.
Them leading it up, really bringing us in, walking us through
everything.
They did a great job. Overall, okay, so if we had to rate our season, what would you give it a rating of? I know I put you on the spot.
I know. I would definitely give it a good 9 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Again, kept me on the edge of my seat. Like, I think by episode, like, 5, I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? Like, I need to finish watching the rest of the season. Like, every week I look forward to the show, so... Yeah, what would you give it?
Yeah, I would give it maybe an 8. I want to say 9, but I feel like we're just now starting to get to that, like, really, really, really
the meaty
crazy
part.
Yeah, the meaty part where we're like, oh my God, did that just happen? Oh my God, no way. Cry, tear. We're just now getting to that where the episode had, or both of these episodes, had us laughing, crying, screaming. going,
so basically,
oh my God,
you're saying you need more.
We need more.
So basically, we need a season two. That's we what we're saying.
We need a season two.
It was so bomb. We need a season two.
You're hearing it from us
yes.
here.
Yes. Okay.
Lauren and Ebony here at AfroBuzz TV. We need a season two.
We need a season two. So what was, we have our little special segment.
Yes.
Okay.
We're getting into it.
911, what's your emergency?
What's your emergency?
Woo, 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 woo.
We're not in our studio today.
That's Steven over here giving us right. all Steven the noises. I love it.
Steven, you just have to like answer the phone and say 911, what's your emergency?
911, what's your emergency?
Perfect.
Good.
Okay, so the first one we're going to talk about is the hiking, right? The man, oh.
Yes.
That was so heartbreaking to watch. He was the one pushing his son, like, we're going to do it. It's fine. And then he ends up getting stuck.
Yep.
And then he almost didn't make it out of there. Lauren, what were you thinking?
Okay, first of all, no. It would not have been me. Hiking in a cave, it's dark.
With bats and animals.
As, what, Harry? No, that wasn't his name. As the sun set, Harry was the boy that got the car stuck in his nose. But as his son said, there are bats. I can't see. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
That would not have been me.
Me either.
I'm a girly girl to the T. I actually love hiking. I actually do. I like it. But
hiking
on the trail.
On like Runyon Canyon.
Yeah. I need the LA vibe of like a trail, cutesy dogs everywhere.
Yeah.
Then I'm good. But if you put me in the middle of the woods, no, it's never happening. You won't even get me to get out of whatever we got into to get there. It's not happening. So my thoughts were, no, it would not have happened. But in this moment, I kind of felt for what the dad was trying to do.
Yeah.
He was trying to get him out of that comfort zone. However, as a parent, and I don't have kids, but as a parent, I feel like there were some safer options and alternatives that we could have chose
totally.
To push the kid out of the
All I know
zone.
Is that I'm glad that the kid didn't end up being stuck.
Yes.
Because, like, we've seen those 911 calls where, like, the kids are stuck somewhere.
Right.
So it's nice that he wasn't stuck, but the dad, of course, you're the one who gets stuck under some boulders.
Upside down. Now your lungs are getting crushed in. It's just so much going on.
So much.
Thank God for Marjan. Like, she is, like, the action hero, female, like, she gets it done. She always gets the job done. We got a chance to see her in action.
Totally.
During this episode, which we'll miss a little bit of her, you know, crazy high stakes. Like,
yes. You know what? I do have to say that, like, I have to give props for, like, firefighters out there and, like, police officers that keep it calm, because you're in a really high stressful situation at all times. Whenever
yep.
you get a call, like, you're assuming that it's going to be high stress. So, like, the fact that we see an example, right, like, we'll use the show, like, Marjan, super calm, but business, right? She
yep.
was like, okay, stop. He's hurt. Wait, we got to do this. Put the speaker to his ear so his son could talk to him. Like, oh my gosh, who's thinking about that in the middle
yep.
of an emergency? Like, only someone who's like, cares about people, that wants to actually really help people, that has a heart. It was just like amazing to see that. And she stayed calm and was able to get him out of there
yep.
without like too much injury.
But they're trained. They're trained that you have to think your way out of the situation, because when you panic, you die.
Totally,
like,
but I'm saying it's
is.
Also, like, that human element, so it's, like, one thing to think, like, okay, I have to get you out, like, that's my main focus, but then to also have that human aspect to be, like, okay, I need to get you out, but, like, let me also give you a push.
Yes.
To be, like, here, talk to your son.
Yeah.
Because she didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
That's not, like, part of her job description.
Owen helped with that, too, and
you
it
know?
Was just one of those things.
They always go above and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, and I think that whole scene was about your mind. It was about mind over matter, right? It
right.
was about having confidence in yourself and knowing that you can do something no matter what the odds are. And it was fun to watch the dad have the reversal, because here he is pushing his son to have that mindset, and then in the last second he's about to lose, like, the faith and lose his own confidence.
Yeah.
So now we have to watch him, you know, do what he's preaching, right? He has to actually
follow through on his word, what he was saying.
Exactly. And the son actually takes the role of the dad and coaches him through it. So that was amazing to watch.
It was. And so. Then our last 911 call.
Yep.
Ah, Lauren was crying. And it was like, it was the most intense call I think we've ever witnessed on this show so far. We have the astronaut in space talking to Grace and basically realizing that, like, he's not about to make it because he has a cute, what was it? Let's see. Oh.
Well, radiation. It was like
the radiation. Right. There you go. Acute radiation syndrome. And he, the only thing he asked for was that, you know, she called his family so that he could say goodbye. And at first you're just hearing the wife talk, and then all of a sudden you hear, oh, daddy. And it's like, oh, no. Like, yeah. He has a baby girl. And it was just so sweet, that moment, to hear her talking. Like, I'm waving. I see you. Like, you know, I don't see you, but I'm waving. And he's like, I'm waving too. And then that was, like, the last thing he said. That was intense.
Could not believe that they did that to us. Right. I mean, it's needed. We need.
They didn't have to do that to
all
us.
Of it, but
they didn't have to do that to us.
I was so. Y'all did a phenomenal job. 911 Lone Star. Y'all absolutely did a phenomenal job because I was crying like nobody's business, and that's when you know that you really have hit the audience, right?
Absolutely.
Like you've done your job well. But that scene was so hard to watch because. If you think about, like, you know, like, obviously he's in space, so you know, like, there's a huge probability that he may or may not come back, right? But she doesn't know that that's her last conversation with her dad.
Right.
You know, that's the last time that she's going to hear his voice. So that hit me hard. That
and
hit
she's
me
so
really,
little,
really
it
hard.
Was almost like she wouldn't have even understood anyway. But, you know, I feel more for, like, the mom. Like, you know, that you have to, like, hear and listen to. I mean, the greatest thing is, I think they're all recorded, right?
Yes, the 911 call.
So it's like she could maybe request to have that.
To have it.
You know, and always have him, his voice there, which was just super sweet.
It was really sweet. But it was also really sad. But that's one of the things that we would have never thought about. Right. If it wasn't really shown, like, okay, sure, there was a solar, you know, storm, this happened, blah, blah, blah. Personally, I would have never even thought about a solar storm until now. Like, this was something that really gave us an opportunity to learn something new. So.
Absolutely.
I'm just
honestly,
like,
I give A pluses for this season. I loved it. I was enjoyable. It was enjoyable to do it with you. And
yes.
Cover our season together.
We did it.
We finished. It was amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you guys, that. Episode 9, episode 10, this concludes our season finale of 911 Lone Star. Y'all have been amazing. We thank you for following us, staying with us for all 10 episodes.
Yes.
As always, you can find us on YouTube. You can find us on
Spotify.
iTunes.
And please like, subscribe, and comment. Okay.
Give us 5 stars because those are the only ones that count. The 5 ones. Guys, I'm so serious. The 5 stars.
Lauren, where can we find you on social media? Because they need to get all this content that we're giving out.
Look, y'all can always follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Lauren B. Mosley. That's MOSLEY. Until next time.
Yes.
Where can we find you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at EbonyChapman12.
Well, you guys. Have an excellent year. We do not know if 911 is coming back, but stay tuned to our Instagrams and you will find out soon.
Hopefully see you next season.
See you next season.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.